Well, South Africa's debt sustainability has been under scrutiny. This, as the Institute of International Finance has warned that the country's debt to GDP could reach 95% by 2024. That's if the government doesn't restructure Eskom and implement a workable growth plan. Joining me on the line now to discuss the report in detail is Deputy Economist at the IIF, Alina Rybakova. Thanks so much, Alina, for your time today. So, as I say, you've highlighted that debt to GDP could reach 95% by 2024. That's in 5 years' time. And it's the worst case scenario you've outlined. What's the baseline? So, the best case scenario as you see it?
Well, there are different things. The baseline and the best case scenario for South Africa are very different. And this is a unique situation among many emerging markets, that right decisions in South Africa for a couple of years can make dramatic impact for the long run. So our worst case scenario, as you said correctly, is about 95%. Our best case scenario is actually the debt declining to around 50% or even lower. So right now, the baseline is somewhere in between. The baseline for us is around 60 debt to GDP ratio. But just small changes like, well, they seem small, small changes for growth, but big changes for reforms make huge difference for these scenarios, as well as, of course, Eskom.
You've put the spotlight, of course, on government restructuring the state-run utility, Eskom, and implementing a workable growth plan as well. Let's start off with the latter. What have you made of the plan the ANC's NEC has outlined this week? Have they said anything different to convince you that this is a workable plan that can, in fact, be implemented?
It's extremely important that the plan is, first of all, approved. I mean, of course, in any country, implementation is key. But I think in South Africa, given the social economic issues and importance of consensus, I think that will be critical as well for the implementation. So personally, I'm less concerned about the fact that it takes time for them to approve the reform plan and discuss it and present a united front, because then I'm more hopeful that implementation will take place.
Of course. So the plan is sorry to interrupt. Continue.
No, the plan is fantastic, I think, so far. And I think it's the more we can build ownership and consensus around the plan, the more likely the implementation will happen. But the substance of the plan, the way it's written now, I think is very encouraging.
Okay, so substance key, but it's more so whether or not there's, we've got players singing off the same hymn sheet that you're focusing on. And I guess the same applies to Eskom as far as plans moving forward in order to get this utility out of the rut is concerned. Is in focus as well. Is a restructuring of Eskom enough as you see it, or would you call, in fact, more so for privatization as an answer? Because whether any private partner with a minority stake is actually going to come on board and jump in is another question altogether.
I think it's important to move forward with breakup of Eskom and reform of the entire energy provision system. And I think for that, privatization has to be on the table. I'm very disappointed with the slow progress in Eskom. Of course, it's been years of mismanagement and we cannot expect results overnight. But when we first started talking about it immediately, when President Ramaphosa, of course, came in first as a leader of ANC, I think investors were much more hopeful for quicker results. And unfortunately, the changes in management and, of course, changing procedures and presentation of the full-fledged reform plan has just taken more time than people hoped for.
Yeah. Of course, it's these rising debt levels in a waning economic growth context that triggers a whole lot of concern, Alina. We've had the South African economy, of course, expand 0.8% last year. And in February, National Treasury said it expected 1.5% growth, but has since lowered that to 0.7%, very much in line with our Reserve Bank, which holds its interest rate forecast at 0.6% for this year. Are we being realistic now?
I think we're close to realistic, but the thing is, the fact that we do a good forecast, that is just not enough. I mean, for example, our worst case scenario, the one we started talking from, was 95% debt to GDP ratio, just assumes 0.5 minus 0.5 growth for a couple of years until then. So you don't need a massive recession in South Africa to get into the debt sustainability problems. That's the thing. Mm. So this little changes on growth numbers make a huge impact on the medium-term debt outlook. So, for example, if you were to assume that growth of about 2%, that already puts your debt sustainability much on a much better track. So, yes, we're realistic. We're also forecasting minus 0.5 for this year and about 1.5 next year. But that is just not enough.
Absolutely. How much of a risk when it comes to South Africa's credit rating standing with Moody's? Of course, that being anticipated and many looking towards the midterm budget statement first to see what kind of sway that's going to be able to have on the credit ratings agency's perceptions.
I'm hopeful that they can hold off with the downgrade because I think they so far have been sending a clear message that if you have more than a decade of a mismanagement in a country, you cannot fix it overnight. And then very possibly it's going to get worse before it gets better. So therefore, it would be unfortunate for them to sort of backtrack on that and say, look, actually, we're changing our minds. We're going to downgrade already now. They missed the moment to downgrade before the political changes. And I think that at this stage, they need to sit it out and wait it out. And the comments what we have seen from them so far, to me, sounded encouraging.
Yeah. Let's leave it there. Alina, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Alina Rybakova is with the Institute of International Finance.